This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How'd I breed all these steer? Because I think it was, we were doing like a bovine thing. When I'm so drunk on Everclear.
Whoa, Ben, are you trying to remember the lyrics to the Those Who Can't theme song?
That show doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, it doesn't? But I can't let it go.
Turn that frown upside down. This is the Grolix Saves the World. My name is Adam Caton Holland.
I'm Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orbital.
And this is a comedy podcast about making your world a better place. And I've got to say, dudes, I think I found the best slogan ever with Turn That Frown Upside Down. I feel like that is what this podcast does.
We should trademark it before someone beats us to it.
Yeah. Do you think you've found this? This is something you think you've found.
No. No, I know where I found it. It came to me from my past from an ad for Lionel Playworld. Lionel Playworld, turn your frown upside down. And I can remember it. I can remember a kangaroo bouncing on a frown and turning it upside down into a smile.
Wait. What was Lionel Playworld? What is this? I don't
know. It was like a Toys R Us or
a States or just Colorado or what?
I used to go to it in Guam and Samoa. My parents would take trips.
It was in Colorado
for sure. Real.
It was in Colorado for sure. Was it not national? Did you not have it?
No.
They didn't have toy stores in Maine. They had a little lumberjack and you went and got a little flannel and a little hatchet.
Don't knock an LL. That's what the first LL
stands for. Little lumberjack bean.
Little lumberjack bean. Little lumberjack bean.
And they shortened it.
Yeah, no. Lionel Playworld was around. I thought it was national, but if only Andrew remembers. You remember it, right, Andrew?
Yeah. Dimly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, I feel like it describes us perfectly, and I don't know why I remember that. But this is the problem. Like, I don't remember major life events, but if it's an 80s commercial or song for a sitcom.
I remember Celebrity Sports Center like it was yesterday.
Did it have a song, a jingle?
I don't know if it has a jingle. But Ben, I know you feel me on this. I can remember every 80s sitcom song.
Oh, dude.
From front to fucking back.
We do this
and
all the time.
I don't remember my wedding day at all. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? I need to reorient my brain.
I understand that because I'm going to be honest. Your wedding day was not all that memorable. I mean, it was
just kind of a blah wedding.
You know what I mean? You know, I love you. I love you too. It was
horse-drawn carriage, skydiving, blah, blah, blah. We've seen it before.
It wasn't
you put the horse-drawn carriage at the back of the B-52 and the entire thing parachuted down.
Right. And I can't remember any of that. But as long as we've got each other,
we've got the world spinning right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I need to reorient a lot.
I'm just saying your wedding wasn't as moving or as monumental as a season of Perfect Strangers.
Maybe you should have hired a jingle writer.
On the wings of my dreams.
If I could do my wedding again, I would take Ben off of Best Man and I would put Rory Scovel right in there. And Andrew, you'd stay the same.
Oh, yeah, you I figured. Made me best man and I fucking roasted the mayor. Remember when I roasted the fucking mayor?
He was governor. He was governor.
Oh,
at the
he
time.
Was governor. Well, I fucking roasted that sad motherfucker. And then on the way
all out, the way to the Senate.
Yeah. And then on the way out, do you remember Rory pelting you in the face with rice? Like everybody had a handful of something. I don't know that it was rice. Was it like flour?
No, it was leaves or something because we didn't want to kill pigeons with rice.
Yeah. And as we're walking out, everybody's gently tossing it. And there's this video of Rory Scovel chucking the handful straight into your face.
I do remember that.
It was.
I also like remember, Ben remembers your wedding, but even better than you do.
One thing I do remember was talking to the governor who was at my wedding, and all of us were really worried about the election because it was days before the Trump-Hillary 2016 election. And he's like the governor. He had an inside track, and he's like, "We got it. We got it. Don't even worry about it." All of us were just like, "All right. Well, I mean, if anybody knows, it's this fucking guy." Like. And yeah, smash cut to November 5th and ooh, doggy, the world changed. But we got to focus on our world, don't we, dudes?
Yeah.
Ben, did you have something you wanted to start off with?
Well, I mean, you're just sitting here humble bragging about the freaking governor being a freaking at your freaking funeral slash wedding. And I thought, like, I think that that's bullshit. Okay. You're not the only one doing cool things with your life. I went to New Orleans for the week and y'all, I've been trying to care for myself and doing a lot of cool shit. So,
like talking like this,
like going to New Orleans, the famous place for caring for yourself.
I went on a wellness trip to New Orleans. How'd that work out for the Cash Money Millionaires? They don't look well.
The Cash Money Millionaires
do not look well.
The old salt cave of New Orleans.
Yeah, I hit the hot springs of New Orleans for sure. No, I went on a little R&R trip. I went to Savannah, Georgia, and I went to New Orleans. I did went to those for a week, and I.
So you got a white trash Groupon.
You know, Adam, your jealousy stinks. It smells like old baloney is what it smells
old
like.
Old baloney, huh?
It sounds like you know what that smells like after using that white trash Groupon.
Yep, it came with a free lunch of white trash on the Greyhound bus.
I did take a Greyhound, but I'm a thrifty traveler.
Anyway, sorry.
I went around the South on a little R&R trip, but I completed what was a challenge that we were looking at doing at one point, but we never got to, which is bros, I got a pedicure.
Dude.
I actually went and got a pedi.
Ernest's horn? Major fucking gels on this one because I've always wanted to do that.
You used an earnestness horn to express
it. That's like, how major
who
gels
cares?
I No, I don't want anyone questioning whether this is a real gels or not. I'm fucking gels. All right.
Dude,
there was a place in Denver you could find that did petties.
I know. I got to go to NOLA for that pedicure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you. So I'm going to take it from that comment that neither of you have had a pedicure.
Never.
I'm into it. And I got to say, this was an experience.
A pedicure is they jerk you off with their feet, right?
No, buddy.
That's a pedicab.
Oh. Go ahead, mark in a hard edit and mark out a hard edit. Wait,
can
here.
We rescind? Okay, let me rescind the earnestness horn and the major gels because I thought it was sort of a foot tug that they do on you.
A foot tug, huh?
That's a foot tug. That's what it's called. That's what it's called.
Yeah, I thought it was a foot
called a soul
tugger,
job.
That's why you had to go to the South.
Okay, well, I thought we were going to talk about what I had done in a serious tone, but I can see that Adam is now on the sexual terrace of his mansion in
the sexual terrace.
Rip City. He's got a sexual terrace.
But look at his kimono. He wears this salmon-colored kimono when he's out there.
And it's wide open.
Yeah.
I don't close it. It's wide open. So there's a strip of skin all the way down the middle.
A lot of thatch coming through there.
No, I got okay. So yes, I got a pedicure in Savannah. I'm sorry, I had it done in Savannah. And
story's got so many holes.
But anyway, dude, my right big toe was so fucked up that when the woman started working on it, she actually went, oh, God.
And then, I was going to ask. And then, that'd be my concern, that they're like, your feet are fucking busted.
Yeah. And she didn't. She actually had almost in a something about Mary when the police officer or the fireman calls in other people into the bathroom when he zipped his junk up. She actually like got the other person working to come and look at my big toe because my nail had dug into the cuticle so far. Ugh. And she pulled that friggin' thing out along with a lot of skin around it. They do this like thing where they get involved.
They're like, they're taking your toenail and wrenching it out of the cuticle.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt. I will say there wasn't a lot of pain to it. They do it very well. They have this flat tool that they kind of slowly dig your nail out of the cuticle. And then what they do is they almost like caulking around a window. Like
they used bathroom caulk on your toe.
No, dude, they used frosting. It's like a gingerbread house. No, it's delicious.
I'm just, guys, I need you to stay with me here. So then what they do is they pull around the toe. They take all of this skin that's got in there and grown over, and it comes off just like a strip, like you're ripping off that thin seal on some cheese on a Tillamook. You know what I mean? A Tillamook or a Kattegold cheese.
It's giving me the little clear membrane around a nice sausage that you've sliced up. You got to pull that
off.
Well,
see, this shows our different socioeconomic statuses because I go a Tillamook cheese.
Right, which is fine pretty sausage. Basic,
I'm going
delicious.
Pack of cool cigarettes, but I get what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. But the point is, we all know thin membranes to pull off. We all have different references.
Exactly. Exactly. She just grabbed a hold of this thing all the way around my toe from one side all the way around, pulled this white strip out with beautiful ease and then pried it all up. My toes, y'all, they've never looked better. Like this was, it was great. We did a lava treatment, which is where they drop this like foaming little ball and your feet are in this massage pool of warm water. I gotta tell y'all, this was Andrew. Okay, if you're jealous too, sound the earnest
I'm not,
whistle.
Sound I'm the not
jealousy
jealous.
Horn.
the jealousy slide whistle.
No, I think it's a gel. It's called the gel siren, and it goes off for a while.
Oh,
it's going.
The jealousy siren. That's a new one. I like this.
Yeah. Ben, this sounds awesome. I am jealous. I've always wanted to do it. I love that in Savannah, Georgia, your toe merited attention from other coworkers. That's wild.
Well, yeah, I bet they saw you walk in and they were like, not me. And they're like, Deborah?
Look at his cauliflower
Deborah, can you
ears.
Help Ben out
look
here?
Look at his cauliflower ears. Yeah. If his ears look like that, I don't want to see his
He's
fucking
got
toes.
Fucking motorcycle boots on. These fucking... These feet have been baked in a clay oven all day. Enjoy. Enjoy my tandoori feet.
I don't like tandoori feet. I'm going to be honest.
I think that was great.
They do everything, though. They like then they go on the bottom of your feet, which kind of tickled, and they take this like kind of emery board and they like sand off any little bit of calluses all over your feet. So my feet are like baby soft right now. And
do you think
are
you
walking
photos
different?
For the Patreon? Can we get photos of your feet for the Patreon?
Yeah.
I have a feeling a lot of people would go up to the top.
Would
tier
you
for
do a
photos.
Feet and greet where people can touch your feet after the live Grolic show?
Ben, and you've been asked a question.
Will
I also want to know the response.
Will you?
Immediately, I went to a visual of that I can't go back from.
What's your visual? Because I've got one too. I've got one too for sure.
It's just me sitting in a folding chair with just one shoe on, lazily dangling my foot out there.
Oh, I had you at the merch table, feet up on the merch table. Like, you can get a shirt, you can get a sticker, or you can check out Ben's new baby soft feet.
Mine is the same. Mine is the same, but Ben's they're shaking his foot like it's a hand. Everyone gets to shake his foot on the way out the door.
The feet and greet is truly, truly troubling, Andrew.
Well, if you're in Denver for this January Grolics, no promises, but we'll see.
Oh my God,
I have a question for you. Did you get your nails painted? We asked you this in the group chat, and you did not respond. Now's the time for honesty.
Yeah,
I did not.
You
I did
didn't.
Not
you had a freebie to get your nails.
No,
you
got to do it.
That's the main reason to go.
I didn't.
You
got to
do it.
I didn't get my nails painted. I was sitting there, and so she was. That what the best part is, they do this calf massage. They like
now
rub
we're getting into the
your calves.
I'm talking about.
No, and they get into the. To the shin and everything, and so
yeah.
I was more.
And then where does the massage go? Up. And then they do this penis massage.
Why are you laughing at that, Andrew? It's not that funny.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb.
It's not that funny. Penis, I don't understand.
Andrew's sorry. Firing darts today. You stay away. You stay off of my boy. He's crushing it.
Well,
love all these.
Anyway, I got to tell you guys, I loved the pedicure. I want you both. I'm challenging you both to go get a pedi
right.
and to come out
do it.
And talk about.
I'm getting
this
my nails painted, though. I'm not going to waste the opportunity.
Absolutely, I'm getting my nails painted. I'm treating it like a orthodontist trip, and they got new bands.
It
what
was
color
in it.
Well,
I honestly,
black and purple for the Rockies.
I just didn't think of it. I should have asked, but. I don't know.
I guess you were in Georgia and they wanted you to live, so fine.
Well, Andrew is on
fine.
People who are listening right now are like, Andrew is in fuego, and which is crazy because Andrew came in half asleep. He was bleary-eyed, but we got to get him like this more often.
No,
feet
I'm exhausted.
Is truly troubling. But
the night before we pod, let's all call Andrew at like 4 a.m.
Yeah,
get him up
because I think that's when we're going to get the best version of him, and Adam is still on his sexual terrace in that salmon kimono, and just dick flapping.
Speaking of Jack Shacks,
I have a Bluetooth. I have a Bluetooth, and I'm on with a call overseas. Hold on, it's overseas. I keep saying.
Okay. Do you all remember? Speaking of Jack Shacks, do you remember when we were making Those Who Can't? We were making it in Studio City, Los Angeles, and we were right next door to a massage parlor that got. Brisk business from dudes all throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
And our writer's assistant, Ian McLeese, the very funny Ian McLeese, did some research and found out that not only was it a Jack Shack, he found a website that was like Jack Shack maps of Los Angeles, like just Yelp for rub and tug massage parlors.
Tug something, I thought. Wasn't it Tug
Maps? It was insane.
Was it
tug maps? Was it tug maps? I feel like it was tug maps.
I think it was Where in the Tug is Carmen Sandiego. It was that. It was a fun one. And there was little like Carmen getting tuggers all over the LA area. It was cool art.
I don't remember tug shots. I don't know what it was.
I don't remember. And more importantly, I don't want to remember because I'm never going
what
to say.
It had the word maps in it. But actually, it's funny you brought up Those Who Can't and our offices. Producer Ron received recently, he received a very interesting letter from a fan. And Ron, let's go ahead. Let's let Ron out of the producer kennel. Let's go ahead. We'll take the blanket off it that keeps him quiet because if he's in the dark, he doesn't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's an object
it's
permanence
like a
thing. Yeah. And so let's open it up. Let's open the cage and let Ron out for a second so that
I still have the shock baton ready, Ron. No funny business.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Ron, you're still there.
I'm still here.
Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to all of you. We're getting emails from fans, so I'm going to read this to you real quick.
Okay.
Great. So this person wrote in, this is anonymous. They said, I have recently come into possession of something that belongs to Andrew that I would like to return to him. It is the bedazzled Smoot track jacket and pants that Fairbell wore in the wrestling episode of Those Who Can't, and it is just as amazing as it sounds. This person said they'd like to throw money at the guys to support them. Was Googling around to see if Adam and Andrew had any merch for sale online, which you don't. And found
It's all in boxes of my garage, unsold. Why would I put it online to give it access?
Fair. That's a whole.
It's aging cool. Like wine.
Cool.
That's a whole separate thing we can talk about that maybe you should start doing because people are looking.
Yeah, fair enough.
This person went looking around on eBay for Faribel shirts and found a bunch of Faribel stuff.
Yeah.
Which they thought was kind of creepy, but they also thought, this stuff only belongs to one person, and that person is Andrew. So they would like to offer and see if Faribel would like his tracksuit back.
Amazing.
Wow.
That is so nice. Thank you. Thank you for digging that up.
Yeah, it's cool, but you know, it brought up something that a discussion that I think we could have and we probably should have about those who can't. Something.
Are you firing me? The show's canceled. You can't fire me now.
You can't fire me because I quit.
I quit too.
I think that's what we're going to talk about is we have feelings about those who can't. And truthfully, a lot of our fans have questions. We get questions about it all the time. So let's do that. Let's take a quick break. Real quick reminder to everybody listening. We have a Patreon page. We talk about it a lot. Patreon.com/Grolic Saves. And just a heads up, one of the perks of being a Patreon member is you get a birthday shout out. But now we're really climbing up in the number of members and it's become something that now we put specifically on Patreon. You do not need to be a subscriber to see these Patreon videos and our shout outs. You can just head on over to Patreon.com/Grolic Saves. You can watch them for free. But if you do want,
they are unhinged. They're the awesome. Best. So watch them. They're
and if you
fun.
Do want your own, subscribe. It helps support this podcast. Obviously, there's Boy Crazy. There's ad free episodes. There's all kinds of bonus content.
Photos of Ben's Tugger and Savannah. We'll get a video.
Greet.
All of it.
The feed and greet. So,
footage.
But to all of you that currently support us, thank you so much. To those of you that have been Patreon curious, go check it out. Patreon.com/Grolic Saves. We're going
to
take a.
Wait, to those about to Patreon, we salute you.
So thank you, Adam, for interjecting that in. That was
thought it should go in there, but when I said it, it didn't land as hard as I wanted it to.
So let's go ahead. We'll take a quick break. And when we return, let's talk about some feelings about those who can't. Let's decide what to do about these pants, shall we? Stay tuned.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, Boy Crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up.
Staying with grandma is bunches of fun. Magic surprises for everyone.
We are back, and Patreon, normally you do get the ad-free episodes, but we had to play that Lionel Playworld ad, and it is everything. I remember it as oh god, that took me to a good place. I feel really safe. There was now.
You should, Adam, you should download it on your phone, and you can just listen to it before big events in your life.
Yeah.
Yes,
and Adam,
dude.
Your memory was amazing. There was a scampish little kangaroo in there,
and it bounced on a frown and turned it upside down.
Well, in the neighborhood that they depicted in a sweet little slice of animation, that it was like live action, then it was animation. That neighborhood is a neighborhood I'd like the three of us to try to get homes together.
A lot of grandmas,
like to get homes.
There were
near
a
each
lot
other.
Of grandmas.
That's so, a ways away from Rift City. That's a road trip to Lionel Town. That's a ways.
We'll go to Lionel Town. I feel like Lionel Town is what we're aspirational towards. Like when we make enough money to finally leave Rift City,
we're going
behind,
to Lionel Town.
We're going to
okay.
Lionel Town. We're getting homes.
All right. Okay. Well, for those of you listening to this, you can Google the commercial if you want to know what we're talking about. But
yeah. But before the break, producer Ron in Act One here had read this lovely message from a fan who off of eBay has found some memorabilia, namely a tracksuit that Coach Fairbell, played by the lovely and effervescent Andrew Orbital right here.
Are we doing the credits
live,
now?
The live
we
Andrew
are,
Orbital.
And that you wore during the wrestling episode, if I'm correct, right? This was what your character, the episode was called A New Dog in the Yard. And it starred WWE superstar Kurt Angle, which was by far, if you all remember when we filmed that episode, to me, was the biggest star, the biggest hubbub of anybody that had ever been on set. Remember, I don't know if you remember the kids at that school.
You're out of your goddamn mind.
The kids at that school were
freaking
the fuck out. Like,
yeah,
they
wrestling
were like,
fans
the
were losing thing. It. Kurt Angle, huge name in the wrestling world. One of the rare actual wrestlers and pro wrestlers.
Right. He won an Olympic medal. He won an Olympic
and
yeah,
not,
gold medal.
And not, and Ron put it, producer Ron put in the notes real quick. Huge person, not a huge person. Actually, shockingly little. He was maybe 5'8", 5'9". He was not a big guy. I mean, stocky, like built very well, but
I think I could take him just because of the height advantage.
Dude, neck like a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
For sure.
yes, exactly. Remember his neck was all fucked up. He had to like.
Yeah, he had to rotate on his center axis.
He was telling me that he was going to get the same treatment that Peyton Manning got.
Yeah, he's been fucked up pro wrestling. It's no joke.
Yeah. The clothes, though, these items that people find on eBay, you know, this person is saying, well, I found this stuff, which is amazing. But this is not uncommon. There have been various pieces of memorabilia from the show. I got the Badonk shorts. I don't know if you remember the bedazzled Badonk shorts.
How could I forget?
Oh, we remember.
My ass looked non-existent in those, and I hope no one ever sees that again. I've been working on my squats since that day. Yeah, that was a tough outfit. But there had been, Adam, did you get some things?
I walked away with merch. I didn't let that merch escape.
What did
the
you get?
Set.
What did
I,
you
I,
keep?
What I wanted, and I took it. There was one episode, I can't remember what it was, but it was like an old satin Denver Broncos jacket that was so cool. Old logo, blue
back
and orange.
When it looked like a horse. Yeah.
It was the Justice is Blind one with the dude from Reservoir Dogs.
Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen. He played a blind cop. Yeah.
Michael Madsen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Michael Madsen. Yeah. I took that jacket, and then Andrew and we cleverly wrote in a pair of
I wrote
Red
them
Wing
in for
boots.
You in episode 8 of season 3 because I was like, oh, Adam's gonna love these boots. And you did.
Yeah,
you got,
we had learned
you got
dude,
Red Wing
had
boots.
Learned by the end that you could if you could write in certain pieces of wardrobe that you may get to walk with, because like right now Milo wears it as actual like regularly because he loves it, a Smoot, real Smoot Letterman jacket with the S and the
I got one of those in the basement. I've never rocked
nice.
It.
I auctioned mine off.
I should auction mine off.
On what? On eBay?
No, it was like a charity thing. Was it a Comedy Works, I think?
No, that's lame.
Sorry.
Take it
no,
for
yeah,
yourself.
It was a charity auction.
But so this has happened. The other weird thing that we've never talked about that we learned right at the beginning was when we used to, during the first season, when we would go to like TCAs, which are these television press events, or to upfronts, there would be people waiting outside, and you see them on TV all the time, for you to sign autographs. And they always have photos of you, these obscure, weird photos. And they're people.
They're fucking creeps with those photos.
They're fucking assholes. Yeah. That's why
they're not,
see
and they're not
times,
fans. They're just autograph collectors, and they're just basically getting the autograph of every single person they can in the hopes that it will be worth a bunch of money at some point.
Exactly. And not, no one realizes that like, or very few people realize that a lot of times when stars turn those down or are shitty and they catch it on video on TMZ or something of them being shitty, it's because the person is worried that that's what it is, like, or that they're being shitty to somebody who's like, I know what you
or
guys
that
are
that is what
doing.
It is, yeah, because they act like, oh, hey, can I get, they know your name, they yell your name. I had a very like acrimonious relationship with those people. Like, they would be yelling after me and I would absolutely not give them the time of day.
I remember Andrew threw this hot tea in this one dude's face and you could see it scalding him, and he's like, well, I'm actually
have
a fan
that for
and
my signature
wild.
I said,
well,
and I walked off.
He spent 8 weeks in a minimum security prison for second
sell that
assault.
On eBay
But well, then he slapped a waiter. I remember Andrew slapped a waiter after that. It was wild. It was
but
a fun day.
This email just brought up something that I know we've talked about kind of individually, but I don't know that we've ever really talked about as a group. And it's something I'm struggling with as that show recedes further and further into the distance behind us, and as many people who listen know, becomes more and more difficult to find to stream anywhere.
Right. It's caught in limbo right now. It's very hard to stream fucking anywhere.
Basically, what it is this complicated relationship I have with it as a credit of mine. Like, this feeling like I feel like a fucking hack that I'm still like, that it's still being used on stage. You may recognize them from it. You know what I mean? It's like this thing that I have this very conflicted relationship with. I have a lot of very conflicted feelings about my time doing that personally, my own time, as we've talked about. Like, it was a difficult time mentally and emotionally for me because of the stress from it. We all dealt with the stress from that in different ways. And I just wanted to talk to you guys about like how you feel that about it now that it's so hard to find and that people will plug it, but you can't fucking find it. No one can fucking watch
right.
it. And it's like right. your life's work is not even available to you. Like, to us, we can't find, I don't own copies of it.
Yeah, it's
you
crazy.
Know, so what comes out is sometimes that on eBay we get, hey, I found some of your shit floating around in the ocean of the internet. Do you want me yes, to scoop please. It well, out of the water and send it to you? Your life's work? Like, that's what I feel like. I don't
know.
That
tracksuit
is
not shit. That's a fine boot. But unpacking these things, I guess, one by one. With the credits thing, I totally know what you mean. It happens, I'm sure, to all of us. I'll get brought up there like, you can watch his show, Those Who Can, on HBO, Andrew Orvinal. And I didn't tell him to say any of that. They'll just say it. And I'm like, okay, there's so many things wrong with this. It's not on HBO anymore. It was, yes, on their streaming service. And you can't find it anywhere. But I've made peace with it because if I don't tell them specifically what to say, and we all, or I think a lot of comics at our level, you just, when they're like, hey, what do you want me to say? You're just like, whatever you want. You know, I'm not like, I've got my whole intro like ready for you. And if I'm letting them just like freestyle, they're just going to grab the stuff that they remember the best, because I would not probably, I mean, sometimes I might use that credit, but in general, I wouldn't. But people want to use the credit you're most remembered for with that crowd as they see it. Like, we've all been at Comedy Works and had to bring somebody up and be like, you might have seen him on SNL. And it's somebody who was on SNL like 18 years ago, but they're still getting brought out because they were on SNL and they're known to be on SNL. And so as in the the comedy game. You want to like ping the crowd's interest with the thing that they're going to find most important. You might have more interesting projects. Like I've had people bring me up, they're like, he's a game designer. He's got his own game company. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you digging me this grave before I go on stage? Like, so I think it's just a way, it's just that not to sound mean about it, but it's the cheapness of the language of a comedy intro. It needs to be as junk food as possible because you're trying to get all these fish to come up to the surface here. Like, come on, like pay attention and it's time for something important. You've seen him on this. You've seen him on that. And they're like, oh, a TV show? Okay. Well, I've heard. It doesn't matter if they've seen the show or not. It doesn't matter if the show hasn't been on the air for 3 years, 4 years, whatever. It matters that you were on a TV show, and in their language, that's something worth paying attention to. So I just made peace with it in that way. If I really don't want them to say it, I just give them a very specific intro that doesn't say it in there at all.
I hear that as well, but it's also like we get a lot of credit amongst our peers because we did the thing. We sold a show and made 3 seasons of the show. So to anyone who's in the entertainment business, people know how hard and rare that is. And I think the thing is, we did not. It was our first effort. And there was certainly a lot of back and forth. People don't know how it was on Amazon. And then there was a year of like, it fell apart and then it came back and True resurrected it. There was a lot of nervousness around that for us that we experienced, but to anyone on the outside, and I think to us kind of looking back, it was like we just rode a rocket ship. It's like we had this idea, people liked it, it got made, we did 3 seasons of it, and I don't think it was our first thing. We never knew how hard it is to get something made because our first thing we got made, and now haven't made anything since that the public has seen. So it felt like we were just on this rocket ship, it was going up, 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 and then it just stalled. And now we're kind of like, will there ever be another fucking thing?
I think that's
really hard to sell those things.
I think that that's the thing that's been the most difficult. I tell new comics that now that I see like on the climb up, like I see people getting on the ride and they're having those moments. People that I know, like that are coming out of the Denver scene or just people nationally that we've known for a long time through doing stand up. I see it. And that's the thing that I try to tell people is like, know when it's enough, like know when you've reached a goal that you can say, hey, I achieved this. I should be proud of myself for just even getting here. Take that as a win. Anything over this is gravy, because I didn't know that. I just thought, well, like, we're going to make a TV show. I'm going to be happy, like, you know, and with it and feel like contented, like I've accomplished that. But it's a weird fall from that place. I mean, it's a strange fall.
It's also like there's a million reasons why our show was not a giant hit. And I think a lot of them were that it was like, you know, it wasn't streaming at the time. It was, you had to watch it old school on cable, like no one else really didn't do. And so there's just like there. I think we also were hoping, hey, this will be a mega hit. It will be like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We'll be big stars. We, you know, it'll just be nothing like this from here on out. And I don't think it hit that way for a variety of reasons. I still think it's fantastic. I'm very proud of everything we did. And I think people who watched it are like, what the fuck? Why didn't it become big? Million answers we could give you. But that is another frustrating part. It's just like it does remain relatively obscure. So it is kind of hard to hang your hat on a thing that not everybody saw and that no one can see anymore. Hardly.
Yeah, the delisting of it hit me maybe the hardest of all of it, because for a long time, you could buy it on Google or Amazon. You could just buy it and own it like you could buy seasons of any TV show. And it was streaming in various places. And then over time, it stopped streaming places. But then I discovered it wanting to watch it with my teenage daughter. I was like, all right, it's time to watch Those Who Can't, the show I made. And I went to try to find it. And it just does not exist in the U.S. in any market. And I was like, what happened? What? How is this possible? And that probably hit the hardest, because I guess I was just naive. I thought that once you make something and it's out there, even as a digital product, it's out there forever. Like, you just think of that. Like, if you want to watch all the seasons of the A-Team, you can go on your Apple TV right now and you can find them and buy them. You just take it for granted. It's just always going to be out there. No, it could very easily not always be out there. And if you don't make a physical run of it, which we did not, I know it came up in some conversations where like, who's buying DVDs? Who's buying Blu-rays? Nobody's doing that anymore.
Who's watching it on standard cable? Yeah. No one. Fucking let us stream it, dipshits.
But that was like perhaps hit the hardest because it was this crazy erasure that I just didn't know could happen. Although I have had it happen another. There was this like dust up with Spotify in the comedy world. They delisted my albums from there. But that wasn't as severe because the album still existed. You could go to my Bandcamp and buy it, something like that. I've also had a whole library of Nintendo games, digital Nintendo games that got erased by Nintendo, which was insane because, again, you just think, I own these games. No, you own a license to play those games. If you don't have the physical copies, they can just remove your license to play those games legally under the terms of use, and you just lost $500 worth of video games that you owned digitally. So
the whole podcast pivots into this. Andrew's just
I've been waiting. But I'm just saying, but these things, I think that as we're all, as society, kind of fumbling in this accelerating digital age, there are things you take for granted because you are like, yeah, this exists now and it will just exist in the future. No, it can just get delisted. And if it was digital, it's just gone. It's just,
I just put out a new special and I think I'm going to look into ways to put it out on vinyl. So there's a physical fucking thing that my sons can have when I'm gone. You know what I mean? Because who knows if you can watch my special in 40
that,
years.
That hit especially hard. But
really hard.
We have learned that there could be some like, there might be some like legal issues, some claims that were going on. I don't even have any details to possibly speak on. So it could be a situation where it definitely comes back once some things have been
resolved. We have our people trying. True TV's been gutted. There's no one to talk to. It's
because it'd be cool. Even if you had to buy it, it would be cool that it exists because having it delisted was very
sobering. Why I'm bringing it up is that I did a very big show recently for a sober community like event. Like it was a benefit for like sober living in a sober space. And I had a very good set. And at the end, I had people asking me, oh, what was the name of the TV show you were on? And then later on down the road, like a few days later, I had people that had been there saying, hey, I'm trying to find it. Where is it? And I look like I'm a fucking liar. Like that, can find proof that the show existed.
Yeah.
But I've never seen, and like Andrew said, that hurt more than anything. It's like having salt rubbed in a wound when you're like, really, I feel like the only tangible thing that people have that they can get is a few items that pop up on eBay or on Amazon for sale that I'm sure somebody in our costume department and wardrobe like had they were offloading, whether it's Time Warner was doing that, you know, just trying to make a little money off of stuff. Who knows? But it's, at that part is, I feel like a fraud. Like I feel like I'm a fake.
I hear what you're saying. But there's a lot. Look, no one has seen all the scripts that all of us have sold that didn't get made.
Right.
No one has seen that. And those doors and those projects wouldn't have happened without those who can't. So it is hard to get a show on the air, but we continue to have every door open to us because we have done this before.
For sure.
And so I feel like that is not a small thing. If you go into a meeting with a network, they're like, they're the guys who did this. And every network knows, yeah, well, it's hard to get a show made. And I don't care if I need to watch that or not. Like, I know these guys have done it. They know how to run a
set.
They know how to write shows. There is a big, all that shit.
There is a big part of it that people will listen to you and take you seriously, even if your show was like good, like it may not have got a ton of great ratings for whatever reason. And like you alluded to, Adam, there were a lot of reasons why that show did not. And including that when we've met with executives from other networks have said, well, you didn't really get that fair of a shake in a lot of respects. Right. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. It's done as done. And I'm trying to let some of the bitterness of that go because we did get an amazing opportunity, but I'm also just feeling like, when do I get to brag about the shit I'm doing now? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When is it?
Yeah, man. There's an Andre 3000 lyric, and I'm not going to rap it, but I will say it. It's like, they say, you're only funky as your last cut. You focus on the past, your ass will be a has-butt. So it's like, what have you done lately? You know what right. I mean? Like, I don't care about what you did 5 years ago. What's your new thing? What's the latest
shit? But you are doing stuff all the time. You just wrote a
that stuff
special.
Doesn't make it public. We don't talk about selling scripts or having things in development. Because,
no, but yeah,
and especially
special
during
out.
A strip. Yeah.
You're saying special
and that's
hyena?
What I'm saying.
That's
like,
huge.
I guess that's what I maybe for myself am wondering is, like, should I just start accepting, like, okay, that was a time in my life if it comes up, but I'm not going to drop that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let's talk about being active about this, because I understand these exact fucking feelings. I have them all the time. The biggest thing we ever did didn't make us stars, and you can't find it now. So it's just like, okay.
Boy, when
shit.
You put it like that, Adam, it's like you took a big old shit in my hand. And it,
but
like
it's true, dude. So like, are we gonna sit here
with a little bit of pee-pee but I will, on it?
I refuse to let that be a failure for us.
Yeah.
Because as you and I both know, we continue to sell shit. We continue to pitch shit. And our stand-up just goes up, 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 up. And this podcast grows and grows and grows. And fans come up more to me about this podcast than people do about those who can't. And so I'm trying, like, truthfully, I've got a lot of feelings that I piped off about recently in a post about who's getting really big in comedy and becoming stars and whether they deserve it. And it's so toxic to spend your energy there. And it's so shitty to be like, but the biggest thing I ever did, no one can see. I'm trying to like macro zoom out and be like, dude, I still at 43 just create shit. And that is how I pay for my life. And like, I want to be a bigger star. I want more fans. I want more money. I want all of it, but I'm taking that as a win. And I was texting with Chris Gethard about this the other day. He feels the same shit. It's just like, why are these assholes succeeding when we're not in a way that we want to succeed? And then you have to pan back and be like, but we are succeeding. We're living a creative life and paying for our lives and our families.
Yeah, you're just peeking over the fence and being like, but they have this. But just making the show itself was like huge. Ben, you lived in LA, as did I. We both spent time. You'd go to a coffee shop or a place and you'd see someone sitting there and they'd have stacks of papers and they'd have their laptop. And you'd know that they've spent 10, 20 years of their life in LA trying to make a show or movie, whatever the fuck they're sitting there working on. And they've never even like gotten a sniff. I remember getting into like Ubers and having people be like, do you know Kevin Spacey? I'm trying to find Kevin Spacey because I wrote a script with like people have been rendered insane. That's
you're like,
true.
We go drinking all the time but together, those were, me and Spacey.
But
we are good
there's
friends.
People
those
who
are
have
lawyers.
Been like rendered just nuts by trying
yeah,
to
dude.
Make stuff.
Andrew's absolutely
and the fact
right.
that we got yeah. to make it and we met so many cool people. We had such an awesome crew. We had those great memories. It is hard now to be like, oh man, I wanted to keep doing it, or I wanted to make another show like right after that. Like I don't. That's why I don't like using it as my credit. It's like it's a great memory, and if it was more like active or more recent, I'd be like, oh yeah, sure. But now I'm like, I'd rather use the Grolic Saves the World podcast as my credit. I'd rather use something else. But
also, what Andrew's
because of that, it's like a bitter, very bittersweet. Kind of memory.
It is also kind of callous to think of these things as like, what value did it have? Because it's just like, I think it just rules that we ever got to do it. And I do wish people could see it because I'm proud of it. But like, we met so many of our comedy idols and they worked on the show. They liked the show and they still respect the show. And, you know, you talk to Rory and Kyle and they're just like, dude, that was the most fun I've ever had on any fucking set ever. Like, please put me in anything ever that you always do. These are like cool relationships that we have with people that I think will become more things. I think we're all still in our creative prime and it'll work.
I think for me, that's what hurts probably is the thing that I've struggled is people are like you said, like. You know, it feels petty or whatever. I remember vividly, I don't know if you remember this, Adam. I think it was day two of filming. I've told this story before. We sat on the steps of our dressing room, like our Star Wagon things, the steps of those. You were tying your shoe. I'll never forget. And it was a warm night out. It had been a
Well, it was hard for me. I just learned how to tie.
Yeah, production made
him
learn. They were like, we're not doing this anymore.
I looked over at you, Adam, and you looked over at me exhausted after just 2 days of the first season. And I remember you said, did we just make the biggest mistake of our lives? Like, I remember you saying that because we were already exhausted after 2 days because we weren't used to the schedule. I mean, it's just long ass hot days and every amount of stress rewriting an episode in a classroom. Like, I don't know if you remember, there was an episode where a particular cast member got sick.
There was
sick.
A few times where we had to rewrite a scene right before the scene happened.
Yeah. And that was thrilling.
Yeah. I loved that. I was like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff. There's the episode that no one has ever seen. There was an entire.
Oh, you mean everyone? You mean all 36?
No, well, no. But
no, there's a lost
that.
Episode that. Yeah.
I know the lost episode.
There is
the
a lost
episode
that people have not seen that the network canned because of a disagreement over it.
They thought it was too bizarre.
And it was not too bizarre. It was absolutely.
No, it's a fucking great.
It's beautiful.
It's a great episode.
And there were that. People don't know that little thing of them canning that episode caused so many issues in our relationship with the network. And that was so fucking stressful that all of that we went through, all these amazing highs and lows, it feels as if it's just gone. And I'm just talking about something that never existed. And there's a part of me, I think, that going forward, not that I won't, if somebody introduces me or recognize me, from it, I certainly will embrace it. But for me, I think going forward, I'm going to focus on what I'm doing now. I think I feel better
Absolutely.
About that. I think the climb is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I've been stuck a bit in the past.
Yeah. And in every episode, you know, we're like, well, what can you do going forward? How can we make Ben's world a better place? And with a situation like this, by extension, ours for sure. Yeah, I would say a solution would be not only to concentrate on what you're doing going forward, but to look for opportunities to be creative that don't have gatekeepers for frustration. For me personally, I was like, I'm going to create my own game company and make games. No one tells me if I can or can't make a game. If I have an idea and I put in the work, I do it and it's done. And I get to get it printed and I get to sit there and hold the little book in my hands and read it. And even that is like miles below making a TV show or movie, something like that. But just having a creative outlet that you don't have to be beholden to a massive entertainment superstructure that you're like begging at the gates of is good. I think it's good for you. And it's good if you have something that you can do. And maybe it's your music. Like when you do spells, Spells is like Denver's best band, and you get to like channel creativity into that band in a way that no one sends you back Spells lyrics. At least I don't think they do, but maybe Rob does.
I do.
Rob's like trite, Ben. But you get to make the songs and you get to create this rad music, and there is no gatekeeper. There's no one pretending to listen to it and saying no. There's no one wasting your time pondering it. You get to make it and you get to perform it and have
For
fun
sure.
with it. And having
I think that
those
that's
outlets
a great
is,
point.
Is very, very clutch, I think, for your mental
that's
health.
Been a one amazing big on top of there was not only one, there was a lot of amazing things that came out of that show. The relationships we forged, the fact that there is like somewhere a video, there is a digital catalog of what we created, and that there's all of that, but there's also the fact that that show did afford us the ability to do this podcast, to do stand up, like to do things independently pretty, you know, as a living.
Absolutely. And I do believe it will be resurrected somewhere. I think this is like legal turmoil from a takeover of a big.
We know it is. We're being very cryptic. Yeah. There's something behind the scenes. So,
yeah. It's like Discovery bought Warner and it's caught in that legal mumbo jumbo. But like, I think we should always take pride in it. But more than that, I think you got to take pride in what you're doing currently. And that's what I would challenge you to do. When people talk up to me about those who can't now, Ben, and especially in comedy settings, I just have a shorthand. I'm like, oh yeah, we did 3 seasons. It's so fucking funny. It's caught in streaming limbo. It'll hopefully be out there somewhere. And then I just move past it.
Yeah.
That's all I fucking, no, I don't get into it more than that. And then they're like, oh, you did 3 shows. And then you tell them who was on it if they want to know more. And that's that. You'll see it someday. It's currently in a quagmire. It sucks. Move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's good thoughts.
And focus on what you're proud of now.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Just if it comes up, I'm not going to recoil, be like, just work to just be like, I did do that. That was a part of my life. And now I'm, you know, on to new projects, other things that we're working on independently as well as, and just focus on that. Because I don't want to get stuck in a heyday thing. You know, I want to be proud of what I accomplished and move on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, like, honestly, I bet a lot of our listeners can relate to that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a TV show that they had. I think many people maybe feel, you know, over the hill, or like they've had their big moment. They've peaked. I mean, I'm sure we have a lot of former high school quarterbacks listening to this podcast. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, this is the official podcast of former high school quarterbacks.
The energy we give off is winner energy. Yeah. Like that. And so
it's abusive coach.
It's abusive coach.
And that's what makes a winning high school QB.
This is the premier podcast of failed athletes.
Yes.
And I think a lot of them know where you're coming from right now. But anybody can. I mean, whether you had that athletics in high school or a job where you were kicking butt in your 20s and now you're not doing as well, like, I think people can relate to this beyond just having had a TV
show. So we're
show.
Like failed athletes, but not even athletic? I feel like it's worse.
No, we're life coaches for failed athletes.
And business is good. Yeah, tell us if you have a story, if you can relate to that, because we'd love to hear that for sure.
Seriously, and how you're dealing with it or how you dealt with it, because that could help us immensely, yes. I think. I also say this as a guy who's been accused many times of being way too nostalgic, like I'm a nostalgic person. I treat it like memories, you know what I mean? It's like you can't just live like, oh man, I used to be king shit in high school. That's a fucking loser.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But celebrate those memories.
I don't want to be Uncle Rico, like the comedy version.
But no one thinks you're that. This is you putting that on you. No one thinks that.
I think it's my own insecurities, and I definitely this definitely helped. This was a good talk, dudes, and I think I definitely struggle with that. As people have noted, I'm mentally ill, and but I do need to make a decision about this tracksuit. I think we should make one. Let me decide for Andrew. Bullshit aside, okay. We just said about hard nostalgia. If Andrew doesn't want those, give us the fucking clothes. Give us the tracksuit. All that bullshit aside, that belongs to us. You know, and it belongs. We're building a shrine.
And if anyone finds the ladybug jacket, I had the sweet
holy shit
drive style ladybug
awesome.
Jacket.
It was
I wanted it so bad. They wouldn't give it to me because they thought that we might bring it back in a future episode, and now it's lost to the world. But if you come across that ladybug jacket,
even though we're not supposed to dwell on it, if we get the ladybug jacket back, can we all just wear our favorite, those who can't merch together, split one pack of cigs together? No one's there, but we just rip.
Why do you want to smoke cigarettes with us?
Talk about those
bad.
Who can't.
What is your know. Like? Why do you want to stop? That's where we're going to stop. It always comes back.
Let's
to cigarettes
take a
with
let's
you
take a
lately,
break.
Adam.
Let's take
Fuck
another
you.
Break. And this is a stand up comedy break. And I say, let's listen to a comic who you may have seen on Those Who Can't, currently streaming on HBO. It's on
currently streaming on HBO with Hulu. Three seasons, True TV, smash hit.
It's
Those
out
who
right
can't.
Now. It just came out. Those Who Can't, please enjoy this clip by Ben Roy, and
guys,
we'll be
look
back.
Look what he just did. He knocked the lens out of my glasses. That's crazy.
We'll be back with the best act 3 in the biz, so stay tuned.
I didn't want to do the show. My mom was like, you got to get up there. People need to laugh. And I was like, yeah, me. Like, I need to fucking laugh. Like, I do. This is the only fucking job on the planet where when I'm sad, I'm told to do my job. to make you all fucking feel better. It's true. It'd be like an oncologist gets cancer and he's laying in bed and the nurse comes in and it's like, paging Dr. Lazy. I know you need a bone marrow transplant, but let's get you out of that bed and let's get you giving chemo to some of these other people. I need to be fucking cheered up. So I'm going to ask you guys to do that tonight. I want you to cheer me up, all right? You're going to do it. Now, obviously, there's a lot of you in here, and we can't fucking do it all at one time, like, or individually. So we're going to have to do it all at once, and it's going to have to be quick. But on the count of three, I want you all to make a noise or say something in unison or sing something, something you think that's going to cheer me up. Just fucking give it to me. Because I do it for you all the fucking time. So I need you to fucking do this for me. On the count of three, cheer me up. Hit me with it. All right? Are you ready? Yeah. One, two, three. Yeah. What the fuck did you say? Yours was so long. You were still, I don't know what to say anymore, but I just want you to know we're on your side. They all just went, woo. Like, it didn't work. It didn't fucking work.
You have landed at the best place in the podcast world, the third act of The Grolic Saves the World. Welcome. It's good to have you here. We've got a lot of fun in store.
We have a lot more to dish about our show, Those Who Can't, that we are going to save for our fourth act, which you can grab on Patreon. But we had many, many more thoughts and feelings to expunge about that.
Yeah. So join us in the fourth act on Patreon. We'll be talking lots more about Those Who Can't and all the feelings we have about it. Ben, it's time for your unfortunately named segment. Finally, some good fucking
good
news.
Fucking did I do it all right? It's like F-A-K-K-I-N-G.
That's it. Finally.
Finally, some good fucking
That's
news.
That's pretty fucking good, dude. Finally, some good fucking okay. news. All right.
What do you got?
This is, I like this one. A camera, a wildlife camera.
Everyone's waiting on the
a wildlife
the
camera.
Seats.
I mean, if you queue up any sentence camera. With wildlife camera, you've got me. I'm hooked. Start reeling me in because I'm not going to put up a fight.
I don't know if Andrew's being facetious or not, but I love
sound the earnestness horn. Okay. You start a sentence with a wildlife camera. I want to hear what.
Well, okay, what then, a wildlife camera in Thailand caught for the first time in 10 years. A mother tiger with her cubs. That has been a sign of the resurgence of tigers in the natural world. And
fuck,
they haven't seen.
I can be finished recycling. I'm done. I am out.
And this is good news to me to get a new tiger skin rug. My old one is threadbare.
No, they're saying that tiger populations have remained stable or are increasing in their remaining strongholds, which are largely in China and Russia, India, Nepal, Bangladesh, Bhutan, and now Thailand. They're seeing a resurgence and a growth in population. And this has been 10 years of them tracking and using bush cams and all of that. And this is the first time in a decade with Andrew, hold it together
you
on bush cams.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, you just
said,
I'm concentrating
you say,
on the
Andrew,
good news. I'm concentrating on the good news.
I can see.
I mean, I'm just saying we all know Adam has a bush cam on his sexual terrace.
No,
he's got a bush cam set up.
Thailand's not the only tiger they caught on that bush cam. I'll tell you that right now.
but anyway,
I'm sorry.
They think there may be as many as 190 tigers living in the wild in Thailand right now. And that's almost triple from 2007. So the populations of tigers are making a rebound.
That is good news. That's
so that's your good fucking news
go
for the
tigers.
Day, y'all. Tigers,
I love tigers.
By the way, the oceans are still boiling vats of plastic.
Okay, stop. It's only good news.
Andrew,
it's only good
get
news.
To the plug song. Only good news.
Plugs.
Sweet.
Plugs.
And now, Andrew, I turn the plug mirror back unto you. What do you got?
Hmm.
gaze upon
Thank
yourself.
You. The plug gaze. Mirror. I've got two.
You don't
I've got
laugh
two things.
At plug mirror, but bush cam gets you. That's a
no. Plug mirror was nothing. All plug right. mirror is
well,
nothing.
You don't think as deep as I do. I guess you're not as deep a thinker.
I have a show this week, Friday, January 26th. You Northern Coloradoans can catch me at High Hops Brewery in Windsor, Colorado. I've heard the show is a ton of fun. And I'm excited to finally have it work out where I could do it. So check that out this Friday, January 26th. And in a couple weeks, I'm taping my third album/special at the Denver Comedy Underground, February 9th and 10th. Get those tickets. We'll put the link in the notes. I'll be right in the heart of downtown Denver. It's a fun space. And I want to hear your laughs on my third
album. Oh, yeah. Fly in
album.
For that shit. Make
you.
A trip out of it.
People... go see that. I'm not joking when I say Andrew is the funniest stand-up comic
and
out of
you
all
and
of
I
us.
Always
so
feel a little
after,
true, but
I'm.
It's not true.
Well, after, you know, once Adam drops out at number three, the jump, you know, it's close between Andrew.
I'm behind
and
producer Ron?
Yes. Yes.
What?
What a funny man. Funny,
Dan, what
funny
do you
man.
Got?
I got plugs. The Spells Rock and Roll Machine is winding back up for the beginning of 2024, our first shows of the year, February 2nd and 3rd. We're doing some shows with our pals at Oscar Blues. So we're playing in Denver February 2nd and Colorado Springs February 3rd. Those shows are going to be so fun and packed. So get your tickets now to come see Spells and sing along and dance to the rock and roll. Adam, what's the use?
My
Scott's?
New special wallpaper plugged? Is now available for free. Yes. It's been for purchase only. It's now for free to the world on 800 Pound Gorilla's YouTube channel. Wallpaper is out there. Please give it a watch. And while you're looking for comedy, why don't you look no further than the Grolix Live Show, January 27th. We got a banger as usual. Come join us for the first show of the year. I would like to take a stab at the quick credits. You ready for it?
No.
I'm ready.
Adam, that's been my
Here
thing.
We go.
Okay, go. You go. I want
to
see you.
As always,
it.
Thank you to our producer, Reich. Fuck. As always.
Oh,
did you
wow.
just call him
no,
the
no,
Reich?
No, no, no.
Let's not get no, over this.
No, Ron's got a pass.
Did you call him the
As
Reich?
As always, thank you to our producer, Ron Doyle. Also, big thanks to Mike Henderson for his help recording at our live show. Theme music, as always, provided by the lovely Charlie Continental. You can follow us on social media at Grolix Comedy and support us and get ad-free episodes and other perks on Patreon, patreon.com/Grolix Saves. We will be back next Tuesday for We
oh,
Are
a there
Weekly
was a pause.
Pod.
You fucked that
That's
up.
That's a different
dude.
Part.
You
That's
that
a different
up.
Part.
It's not a different part. You paused. Everybody felt that beat.
We will
it was
be
crazy.
Back next Tuesday for We Are a Weekly Podcast. You know it because you subscribe. Tell your friends about us. In the meantime, Ben.
Play us out, Charlie!